12. Now, this passage is at an interesting time in the life of Israel. This is when Israel had come to Samuel, which up to this point, Israel had not had a king. All they had was prophets. So they were not a kingdom yet per se in the sense that they had an earthly king, but they had God as their king. And then they had guidance from prophets, from the Lord. But remember, they wanted a king. They wanted a physical, earthly, human king. So they came to Samuel. They said, "We want a king." And Samuel helped them choose Saul, who became the first king. And he explained to them that by asking for a king, they were technically sinning, that they were basically saying they didn't want God as their king anymore. And they, when he explained that to them, in this passage, Samuel is telling them that they sinned, but that God forgives them. But then God encourages them here to keep going on for God, even though they've made this mistake. And they kind of obeyed this initially, because, you know, after Saul came David, and then came Solomon. So for a patch there, they actually were serving God and having God as their overall king, and their earthly king was following God. But then things really fell apart, as we know, after that. So here in verse 20, he said unto the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness." So he's acknowledging, you have made a mistake by asking for a king. But he says, yet, verse 20, "Turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain." And down in verse 22. "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." So I've entitled the message, "Serve him in truth." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our hearts this morning to teach us, to grow us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come together and open your word, and we just want to be blessed, Lord, and we want to be a blessing to you. And so, Lord, we pray for a great time in your word now, and that you'll be glorified in this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So some really good advice here for Israel, and good advice for us. Have we sinned? Yes. Have we made mistakes? Absolutely. And Samuel's answer wasn't, "Well, it's too late. You've sinned. That's it. You're going to hell." No, he said, "Yes, you've sinned, but it's done." We as Christians, when we sin, what do we need to do? We need to confess it. Confess your sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what? Go on and serve God. To not get despondent and say, "Well, I've sinned, it's over, God doesn't love me anymore," and go sit in the corner and wait for death. And, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there, that's kind of what they've done. Especially Christians who don't believe in eternal security. A lot of them realize they can't live it. They keep making mistakes. They keep failing. And, of course, they've been taught that they've lost their salvation time and time again. And finally, they just realize, "I can't do this. I keep failing. So, obviously, I can't hold on to my own salvation, so I'm going to hell." And they just give up. And you meet Christians like that all the time. But that is not the case, as we'll see. So what is his advice? Really, he gave them four great pieces of advice here in this passage. And the first one was, keep following the Lord. There in verse 20. Turn not aside from following the Lord. Don't allow sin to get you off track. You know, Jesus talked about being on that narrow road. Stay on it. Keep following the Lord. The devil will often try to use sin to convince Christians to quit, which is obviously not what God wants. He never wants us to quit. Keep following the Lord, as we see here in verse 20. Now, if you would look at Deuteronomy 31, I want to show you where Moses gave similar advice to the nation of Israel long before this time with Samuel, but before the people went into the promised land, here in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 31, 29. Here is Moses essentially warning them the same. He says, "For I know," Deuteronomy 31, 29, "that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I've commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." So even Moses said, "I know what's going to happen. You're going to go into the promised land. Things are going to be good. And then you're going to turn your back on God." And that's exactly what happened. And we get the book of Judges, where they just kept failing and failing and failing. And God would rescue them and they would fail. And then God would rescue them and they would fail. God says to us, what's the answer? Keep following the Lord. If you've made a mistake, if you've stumbled, keep following the Lord. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." And it says in verse 24, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, but the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we make a mistake. The answer isn't to quit. The answer is to say, "I'm sorry, Lord," and confess it and get up and follow the Lord. Keep following the Lord. And so that's the first great piece of advice that Samuel gave them here in verse 20, was keep following the Lord. He says in verse 21, "Turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver." You know, the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, in 1 Peter 5:8. I've shared this before, but you know, when lions are on the hunt, you know who they go after? Which of the animals? The ones out on the fringes, the ones that are injured, the ones that are weak. If there's a herd, they don't just go diving into the middle of the herd, because a lion can actually get killed by a herd. They can get stomped to death. No, they go after the ones out on the fringes, the ones that are not sticking with the herd. He's like a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, looking for those that have stumbled and have stopped following the Lord so he can grab onto them and cause more problems in their lives. So the first piece of advice he gives, keep following the Lord. And that is God's advice to us. If you've stumbled, if you've fallen, if you've made a mistake, don't quit. Keep following the Lord. Do the right thing. Anyway, now we're going to come back up to verse 22. I'd like to dive down to verse 24 if we could and give you the second piece of advice. Only fear the Lord. The reason we stumbled is because we weren't putting God first in our lives. Right? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When we're fearing God, it means we're revering God. We're holding God up. We're putting Him first in our lives. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible says, "By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And so the Bible teaches that we need to be in the fear of the Lord. We need to renew that fear, that reverence, that putting God first in our lives. Israel needed that. He said, "You've sinned. You've made a mistake. The answer isn't to quit. The answer is keep following the Lord. The answer is to only fear the Lord. Not fear man, not fear life, not fear the world, not fear the devil. Fear the Lord. Put God first. And God will bless if we will only fear the Lord." Then the third piece of advice he gives is verse 24, "And serve Him in truth with all your heart." What a great truth. Serve Him in truth. You know, there's many people out there serving the Lord, but they're not doing it according to the truth of God's Word. And when you think about that, how sad that is to put on all that effort for naught. You know, this is nothing new. We all know the story of Cain and Abel. It started way back. Cain put a lot of effort into his sacrifice that he made unto the Lord. And when he brought it to God and God didn't accept it, he got angry. Got so angry that he killed his brother. That's pretty angry. He put a lot of effort into that garden and grew up all those, whatever he grew, and he brought all that to the Lord, and the Lord wouldn't accept it because he wasn't serving in truth. What did Abel do? He killed a sheep and God accepted it. It took death, and they were learning it early on. It takes blood. It takes death. It takes sacrifice. Cain got angry. He didn't understand that. But that hasn't changed. We still have people all around the world not serving the Lord in truth. Now, they're serving the Lord, but not according to the truth of God's Word. By the way, an example of that is this whole new modern age of worship, where people think that serving the Lord is having a rock concert. That's just serving the flesh. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we're worshiping the Lord, we're to be worshiping the Lord with our spirit, not our flesh. Rock music appeals to the flesh of man. The flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. How can you appeal to the spirit of man through the avenue of the flesh? You can't, because they're at enmity with one another. But you feel good. And if you feel good, then that affects your emotions. And then you walk away saying, wow, this was good. I worship God today because I feel good. What's that have to do with worshiping a holy God, whether or not you feel good? So again, serve Him in truth. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Romans 12:11, Bible says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3, where again, we're told how important it is that we are serving God in truth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3:23. Notice the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. A lot of Christians are serving, but they're not serving in truth. They're serving man. They're serving for glory, for praise from man. We're to be serving in truth. We're to be serving the Lord Christ. And by the way, the service that we do for the Lord, God will reward it. Now that shouldn't be our motive. The Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. We need to be serving the Lord in truth, which means honesty as well. Not only according to the Word of God, but honesty in our heart. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 15, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He says, he that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Psalm 15:2. We need to be serving with honesty with the Lord about where we are. So, this third piece of advice, great piece of advice, serve Him in truth. Make sure that your service is according to the Word. You know, there's another example I can think of in the Old Testament. It was when David first wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. His motives were right. He wanted the ark in Jerusalem. He was thankful for God's blessings, thankful that God was blessing Israel and making him the king. And so he sent the guys to get the ark, but they didn't bring the ark according to the Word of God. Because the Bible is very clear that whenever the ark was to be transported, it had rings in the corners, and it had to be transported with sticks through the rings, and it had to be transported on the shoulders of the priests. And they had to be the priests. Well, instead, they put it on a cart. And they strapped it down, and the cart was going along, and it says the oxen stumbled, and the ark almost fell off the cart, and one man reached up to keep it from falling. Well, what's wrong with that? And God killed him right there on the spot, a man named Uzzah. Poor Uzzah died because David didn't serve God according to truth. And God killed Uzzah for touching the ark, and David was so upset about it, he sent the ark somewhere else for a while. All of that happened because David didn't just open the Bible and read that he needed to do it a certain way, with staves on the shoulders of the priests. Say, well, what's the big deal? Because it's in the Bible, so it's a big deal. And God said, I want it done this way and no other way. That's a big deal. Because God's ways are the only ways. So serve Him in truth. So three things so far. Keep following God, even though you might have stumbled. Fear the Lord only and serve Him in truth. And then lastly, verse 24, consider. Consider how great things He hath done for you. Isn't that good? How easy is it for us to forget how God has been so good to us? All the blessings He's poured out upon us. The fact that we're born again and going to heaven. And He takes care of our every need. He's so kind to us despite our weaknesses and failures. Consider, Samuel said, consider how great things He hath done for you. Praise the Lord. Never stop remembering how good God is to us personally. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leadeth us to repentance in Romans 2:4. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you will look at Hebrews 13:15, where the Bible even teaches that when we give thanks unto the Lord, it's actually an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. So four pieces of advice Samuel gave. Keep following the Lord, even though you might have stumbled. Only fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth. And lastly, consider how great things He hath done for you. Notice Hebrews 13:50. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice of praise. Consider how great things He hath done for you. Now, you know, Samuel not only gave them these four pieces of advice to keep them from falling by the wayside, but he also explained to them, back up to verse 22, he explained to them how to make sure that this is even possible, how to maintain this kind of a walk with the Lord. Three things. Number one, realize that we are secure in Christ. And I personally believe that when a Christian believes in their security in Jesus Christ, it gives them the foundation that they can stand on, knowing I'm secure in Jesus. They can go forward in confidence. Notice he says, verse 22, the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. We're going to heaven because of God. Amen? Not because of us. Remember that. Because of who He is, because of His nature, because He loves us so much, that's why we're going to heaven. Not because of us, because of God. As God said, it pleased the Lord to make you His people. Israel wasn't the people of God because of Israel. They were the people of God because of God. Because God chose them out of nothing and said, I'm going to make myself a new people, my people. He does the same thing for us. He chose us to be His people. And it says there in verse 22, He will not forsake His people. Praise God, He will not forsake us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. We are safe in Jesus Christ. And so one of the ways that this is possible is because we have this security. But also notice verse 23 says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Samuel understood the importance of prayer. And we should as well. It's tough to keep following the Lord because the devil keeps after us and the flesh keeps giving us troubles and the world is after us. But God says, keep following the Lord. We can do it. But we need to be praying. How often? Without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Constantly praying and praying and praying. You know, the disciples, when the church was getting started, they had this big blow up about the widows not getting taken care of. They almost had a church split. You know what they did? They said, "We aren't going to take care of this problem. We are going to get some other guys to take care of this problem." So they picked 7 deacons. They said, "Your job is to feed the widows. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." There in Acts chapter 6. They understood that we got to keep praying. We got to keep praying for this flock. We got to keep feeding them the word of God. You deacons, you go take care of this issue with the widows. And it worked. We got deacons because of that. But prayer. Prayer, he said. Prayer, the security that you have in Christ, and then, of course, the word of God. Notice he says, "And I will teach you the good and the right way," there in verse 23. We're secure in Jesus Christ. We can keep following the Lord. We can only fear the Lord. We can serve Him in truth with all of our hearts. And we can continuously consider all the great things He's done for us. But we need to be in the Word. And we need to be in prayer. He says, "I will teach you the good and the right way." The Bible says, Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." As we stay in the Word, we grow. As we're in church, we grow. And it is possible to serve the Lord in truth. Did you notice in verse 25 he finished with a warning? He says, "I know I've given you the answers here. I've given you all you need. You've made a mistake. Follow God. Fear God. Serve God. Consider the great things God's done for you. I'll pray for you. I'm going to keep teaching you the Word of God. This is possible. Do it." But, verse 25, "But if ye shall still do wickedly," if you won't listen to my advice, "ye shall be consumed, both you and your king." We have a choice, in other words. We can choose to do right or we can choose not to do right. And if we choose not to do right, we're going to suffer the consequences. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Hebrews 12:6. So what's the answer? Serve him in truth. We've made mistakes, but it's never an excuse to stop. It's an excuse to get up, brush yourself off, and follow the Lord. Fear the Lord, serve the Lord, and continually remember how good He is. And God will use us. God will use us. He wants to. He wants us to serve Him. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are trying to cruise their way to heaven. It's quite sad. God put us into His army. Last I checked, soldiers are for fighting, not for cruising. We have a job to do, and that's serve the Lord with all of that we are, with our gifts and our talents and our time. God says, do it. Serve Him in truth. Let's pray.